Bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 301, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. O thou who art my Lord and God, and thy gracious help extend, and for thy loving kindness sake, O save me and defend. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 301.
Thank you. scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the book of the Psalms, and thereof Psalm 27. Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou dost know and see each one of us as we are gathered in this evening in thy house of prayer, or as we are sitting in our homes, listening also along in this evening hour. For thou knowest the secrets of the hearts of men. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And that is for the warning of many, and also for the comfort of those who are thine own. For Lord, thou knowest what we think by nature, that there is no one that knows our heart except for ourselves, and we can hide all from man, and then it is hid from all. But it is not the truth. It is not what we believe by faith. It is not what is known in regeneration. And Lord, thou knowest how then we go over this world, because in this morning hour, then outwardly there has been a distinction, there has been a separation, and we can read in thy holy word that one day thou wilt separate the sheep from the goats. Thou wilt put the sheep on thy right hand and the goats on thy left hand, and there is no third way. And Lord, thou knowest what we do think also to ourselves by nature, that there is somehow a third way, that there is also a religious people, and somehow they will also be included, and that the Lord will look through his fingers at our sin, and that he will incorporate us even outside of that true saving faith. O Lord, it is impossible, because it is only through thy dear and beloved Son that we are to be saved. It is only by faith, as thy servant did say, that by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And Lord, when we are as a congregation so visibly separated from one another, oh, could it please thee to make an impression in our hearts, both young and old, that thou may give also in this way, that it may be a warning, where so little touches our hearts, that this open distinction may indeed touch our hearts, that we could not go away from this day, forward from this day, upon our life in the same way anymore. Oh, to see ourselves to be excluded, oh, that it might strike that tender fear of thy name in our hearts, that we might learn to seek with all our heart, with all our might, and with all our strength, because thou dost say, as some save with fear, plucking them out of the fire, or then they shall be saved as a brand plucked from the burning. Oh, that thou may give an impression then in this evening hour, and when it is true that we are indeed standing on the outside, oh, and we are standing for ourselves, for our own account, even as the heathen, as we can read in thy holy word, who are without hope, having no hope, and without God in this world, and then under the preaching and under the means continually, oh, that thou may come, Lord, from thy own side. Oh, do we not profess thy own truth, and that we are dead in sins and in trespasses? Oh, do we not say it over and over again, that it is the work of thee, thee alone, who art the Alpha, who art the first, who art the beginning? Oh, that thou may come then, and that thou may speak in the life of this one or of that one. Oh, could it be? Could it be many? Could it be all, Lord? Oh, does our work here in this our flock have so little fruit? Lord, why dost thou send us here? Why dost thou help us? Why dost thou give us to bring thy word continually? Why dost thou strengthen us for this labor? Or is it then to be so wholly in vain, Lord, that thou would take young and old, by heart and by hand, wilt thou use us yet as a little instrument in thy holy fingers here in this our congregation, that there may truly be a work of thy Spirit most powerful, most effectual, to the raising of the dead, to the giving of life unto the souls, and that flesh may come upon the dead dry bones, and that thou may speak with thy Spirit and say, live, and then they shall live. O Lord, we beseech thee to do what we are not able to do, and what we confess to thee is not deserved from our side. For we have forfeited everything in our covenant head Adam, and we forfeited ourselves as his children, as his seed, every day again, with all the desires of our wretched souls, pouring out over all the vanity and carnality of this world, taking no heed to thy word of truth, to the warnings that come to us, to the callings that are proclaimed to us, to the invitations that may be heard among us, those so sweet and going out unto the most wicked and to the most wretched and to the most sinful and to the most miserable. O Lord, we have no ears to hear and we have no eyes to see, but thou canst give them in a moment. And thou didst say, a man must be born again if he shall ever enter into the kingdom of God. And then thou knowest, Lord, that it is all not gold that glitters, but it is all also and not dead that seems to be dead. Oh, then it is possible that there are the little coals that are burning underneath, and then we cannot see it. It is all hidden from the eyes of a man. But are there not those who seem to be among the dead, who do also say with thy servant, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, and that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to inquire of the Lord, to seek in his temple, to behold the beauty of the Lord. O Lord, thou knowest those that so exist in the midst of us, and that do come up from Sabbath to Sabbath day, and that do desire that thou would speak unto their soul. And Lord, they are not able yet to testify that thou hast come over for them. Oh, they cannot say that it is thy work, but Lord, thou knowest still what is thine own, and thou wilt never forsake the work of thy own hands. O wilt thou give a little encouragement also in this evening hour, and that they may go on, that they may go on, that all of the discouragements that live in their hearts may be taken away, that they may be given to seek with fervor, and that they may desire with all what is living in their hearts. Oh, that their bowels may yearn after thee, and that they may be brought with weeping and with supplications. Lord, thou knowest where we need to be brought, each and every one of us, and we cannot bring ourselves in the place where we must come. Oh, the greater Joseph has much work to do upon his own brethren, oh, that he may bring him in the guilt, and that he may bring them in the place where they say that we are no longer true men. No, we are guilty men. We are sinful men. Oh, we have sold our brother. And then the Lord comes back upon it. Oh, we are so verily guilty. Oh, Lord, could it please thee to work with might and with power? And wilt thou with thy Holy Spirit bring man into the place where there is no hope from his own side? Oh, then he looks all into the ditch. He looks all into the pit. He cannot save himself. He cannot bring forth anything anymore. Oh, Lord, then he is so miserable, and then he is so helpless. But, oh, thou didst open the eyes of the blind, and when it was so impossible for them, and those that were so leprous, oh Lord, even a man who was a Samaritan, who was an enemy of thee, oh, then they had no dealings with thee, and yet thou wast so good unto him. Oh, thou didst speak, thou didst heal, thou didst cure, thou didst renew him. Oh, could it be that also in the midst of us, this may be experienced by young and old together. Lord, thou knowest also that our hearts, oh, we can so deceive ourselves. We need our eyes open, and we need continually, and that we may search to know whether thou art mine and that we are thine. Oh, that thou may give also in the midst of thy own people a desire, and that they may be led into the knowledge of their own adoption, or that they might be able to say that he is mine and I am his. O Lord, that is such a blessed way when thou wilt bring to know that it is thy own work when thou wilt establish thy people upon that solid rock, or that they may go through this world in with pleasing unto thee in the true exercise of that faith that thou givest unto them, and that they may please thee by living upon thee, by living out of thee, by living in thee, by taking refuge continually, by dwelling in that hiding place, there where the storms cannot take them, where the rain cannot reach them, where there is comfort and where there is safety, while that all the storms do fly here below. O Lord, a little while yet, and then this body that shall be laid down, then that body of sin and death will no more displease that people, and it will not displease thee anymore either. Then that time will come when all the tears shall be wiped away from their eyes. Then the time will come when they will be brought into that blessed marriage, a supper of the Lamb. Lord, wilt thou give more desire for it? Because thou knowest how little that desire can be, as we do cleave to all of this world, as thy servant did say, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me, O Lord, according unto thy word, and wilt thou be with each and every one in all the needs and the cares that can come upon us in this life. All that takes place in this world, in the midst of our families, in the midst of our countries, wilt thou supply in all of our needs. Wilt thou humble us also under thy great goodness, where thou hast opened the hearts of the members of our church and the members of the other churches to give so freely out of all that thou hast given unto us in the season that is gone by. O Lord, humble us under the great goodness of thy hand, for it is all from thee. And now, Lord, when it may return a little unto thee, may it be also in the way that thy servant did say, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Could it be then felt and experienced in this evening hour? Wilt thou help us to bring thy word once again and be with the children? Lord, thou knowest where they are, here or at home. Wilt thou give a hearing ear, give the ability to listen a little? May it be, even though they are so very young, and they are able to receive the same blessing, because thou art God. And be with us then, and keep all distractions away. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 137, stanzas 2, 3, 4, and 6. He calls aloud to heaven and earth, and that he may justly judge his own. My chosen saints together bring, who sacrifice to me alone. The heavens his righteousness declare, for God himself as judge is there. 2, 3, 4, and 6 of Psalter 137. Beloved congregation, we are gathered this evening in the way of reflection, and reflection is a very important work. We can read that David reflected. David said, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. Do we ever muse upon the work of God's hands? Because there is so much that we miss. If we would look about us in the creation, then we take for granted everything that we see and that we may experience for ourselves day by day, without consideration for our Creator and without consideration for our Provider day by day. But where are now the greatest works of God? They are not the creation. The greatest works of God are in the redemption of His people. For it is a much greater thing to save man from the place where we have brought ourselves than it was to create this whole world in the first place. And yet, by Isaiah, the Lord says, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but my people doth not consider. Thus consideration, to look about us, to look within us, to remember the days of old, to meditate on all his works, and to muse on the work of his hands. That is a means, that is a blessed means, that we may receive profit from all the labors of the Lord that he is bestowing on us and upon our children. That reflection is necessary with every means of grace, boys and girls. And when your father or your mother is reading you the Bible at the table, or they read to you a Bible story, then do you meditate upon it? Or do you think about other things as they are reading to you, or as your teacher in school is telling you about the Word of God? Or do you remember when you come home and what your teacher has spoken of? Because the greatest blessings that we may receive from the Word of God, they are received through reflection. They are received through remembrance, and they are received through musing upon the work of His hands. Thus everything, every time that we hear, every time that we try to pray, and then the busyness of this life takes our thoughts away, but in a very special way, we are called to reflect when we have been at a service similar to this morning hour, and when in a visible way a distinction is made in the congregation. And why is that a special calling to reflect? That is because every single one who is a confessing member of the church has made a decision, has made a choice, has made a confession before all the congregation and before the Lord. And that is a solemn confession, because it has not only to do just with the table of the Lord, but it has to do with our soul state and condition as we travel between the cradle and the grave. By way of reflection, we wish to consider the Word of God in this evening hour from Psalm 116 and thereof the ninth verse. 116 verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So far, the words of our text, which speak about the desire of gratitude first, in whom this desire of gratitude dwells. And second, after what this desire of gratitude aspires. The desire of gratitude in whom it dwells. And second, after what it aspires. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That is a promise. We would say that is a vow, and that flows from something. It flows out of something that is flowing out of the heart. And that is not just the mind. No, that is flowing out of the affections, that is flowing out of the desires, that is flowing out of the will. And why? Well, it has a cause. And what is that cause? That cause is deliverance. As we have heard, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. And then I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So you see the vow of faith, right? When faith may be exercised, and then there is a going out of the heart unto the Lord. And then there is nothing so effective to draw our heart after the Lord as deliverance. As deliverance. That is what Paul says. Knowest thou not that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee unto repentance? We say by nature actually just the opposite. That is what our fathers have laid out for us in our catechism when they have asked that question, doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? What doctrine? Well, the doctrine of grace. Well, that you don't need to merit it, no. But it will be given all freely, without money and without price. Everything, and then nothing is required from the hand of that church. And then the natural man says there is no doctrine that is so liable to make a man an antinomian that is against the law as such a doctrine. Then why should he do anything? And our fathers say exactly the opposite in their answer. Why? They say, by no means, for it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by a true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. It is impossible. Thus, the Lord's work that is never making careless and profane people. And we need not to preach in such a way as if we need to prevent people from being careless and profane. As if we need to twist that word of God lest men will act in an ungodly manner. No, because as our fathers say, and that doctrine itself does not make men careless and profane. And that is now borne out by the word of God. That is borne out also by our text. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. And then, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. You know, children, that the Lord Jesus, he went to by the Gadarenes, and there was a man who was possessed by the devil. Legion of devils. And the Lord cast them out, and they went into the swine, and that man was delivered from the devils. And now what did that man want to do? You say the Lord, he wanted to stay with the Lord. He desired that he may be with him. What do you think of that? That you may be with him. Today you are three times in the house of God. That is good to see you here. That is not so easy to sit so long for three times, is it? Oh, I hope the Lord may give you a reward in your heart, that he may speak unto your soul. But now if the Lord will convert you and deliver you from the wiles of Satan, who is in us by nature, oh, then we are going to desire, like we have heard in the word of God, one thing have I desired, and that is that I may dwell in that house of the Lord all the days of my life. Oh, the Lord give it to you, especially in the days of your youth. The commandments, the commands of the Lord, they are not kept, congregation, without love. For thou hast delivered my soul. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, what is engendering? That is love. We can keep those commandments outwardly, but that does not mean that we have kept them rightly, because what is now the true keeping of the law of God? The Lord Jesus has said that in a few words. He says that is love to God above all, and love to my neighbor as myself. What does that mean? That means, boys and girls, you can do something for your mother, but she says that you must do. But you do it with a grumble. And if you do it with a grumble, have you done it rightly? Have you made mother glad? Oh, I think you have made her sad. Even though you have done what she asked, but you have not done it out of the right heart. Do you see what is now necessary to keep the commandments of your mother and of your father? Do you see what is now necessary also to keep the commandments of the Lord? What does John say? We love him because he first loved us. And now what does love do? Oh, love, the Lord Jesus says, if you love me, he says, keep my commandments. Well, that is how we show it. That is how it comes out in our life. And that is why we read here also the psalmist. He says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. And because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. There you go. There is that vow. That is that vow in true faith. And that is bringing out love unto the Lord. So it goes out to him to receive everything, and does receive it all, and then it goes out to him to give him everything. Their whole life, their heart, all that is in their house, all of their children, they say, oh, may also every one of my children and all of my grandchildren, oh, could it be that they also may live so for the name of the Lord? Thus we have in the first place, in whom it dwells. In whom these desires dwell. What desires? They are the desires of gratitude. Do they live in your heart? Do they live in your heart? You say, I did not come to the table of the Lord. No, you did not. And why not? Well, you say, I am unconverted. Is that so? Why is that? Why is that? And how long? Because life is flying away. How long do you intend that it is going to remain that way? You say, minister, you know that I cannot convert myself. I know that. You know that too? How do you know that? How do you know that? Is that because we see it? Is that because God's children say that? Or is there actually not even a desire in your heart? Do you honestly ask the Lord that the Lord would give you a desire? Do you seek to get a desire by the means that the Lord has given to us? That he is giving such desires in the life of his own people. Do we somehow blame the Lord? Or is the Lord to be blamed? If we have no desire, is the Lord obliged to fight against our desires? Our desires for vanity? Is the Lord obliged to resist us? To become too strong for us as we resist? As we resist true conversion, as we say young people may be? Later. Later, because first, yeah, there is so much in this world, and I would first like to enjoy the things of this world, and then maybe when I'm older, then it is more fitting that I would be converted. And what has the Lord now to do to you? If the Lord will convert you, he must become too strong for you. Then there must be, we would say, humanly speaking, an effort. It is easy for the Lord, of course. But to create the world, there was no resistance. But to convert us, there is resistance. He is much stronger. But indeed, there is resistance. And the Lord has no obligation to fight against the resistance that we bring against him in order that he may bring us at his footstool. The Lord is so just. The Lord is just to leave us just the way that we are and to make the choice that our natural heart makes, which it makes freely, freely choosing the things that we choose every single day, and therefore responsible for the choice that we have made and are making and do make. We have received so much already, haven't we not? And we have come up on Thanksgiving Day. And we have acknowledged the Lord outwardly for all those things. All that is so good to see. But congregation, do we not actually take it all for granted? And do we not think that tomorrow the Lord is just as it were obliged to give unto us the blessings that we have received yesterday and today? And that we can go on without a flinch, saying that we are unconverted and that we have no power to convert ourselves, and therefore we come up to that house of the Lord with not the least inward longing, desire, asking and seeking after the blessings which he has laid away for his people? Or do you think that on the judgment day that we will be able to say to the Lord, I've come and I've gone from the place of the holy? Or what is the Lord going to say to us? He says, yes, and I have in my providence brought you there. And I have in my providence kept you there. And I have in my goodness given you to hear of grace. For the chiefest of the sinners, and you would never bring yourself to that place to acknowledge that you are guilty and that you are unworthy and that you are the chiefest of the sinners. Oh, do you see how all those blessings that the Lord is giving to us, they are all going to testify against us on that great day of days? Congregation, I know, oh, that though this is our way by nature, and that we come up even as in the days of old, the multitudes would often come. And I know that it is just a remnant that the Lord has in this world. But we have on our own side no excuse. And then I know that also, that it is also different with some. Because what we see on the outside, that is not necessarily reflecting what is truly on the inside of your heart. Because I know that there are some who grieve and who do say, I cannot convert myself. There are those who say that with much sorrow in your heart. You say that with much grief. And you say that with much turmoil. Or you say it wishing that you could make it different in your heart. You say it out also of a very bitter experience. When you have experienced that wretched disposition of your soul, that you say it is always after that which is carnal. It is always after that which is sinful. Oh, there are some that do cry out. That do cry out of your wretchedness. That do cry out of your guilt under this. There are some that have so been going to and fro from the place of the holy, maybe already for many years. Oh, you read. You read when you are at home, and you bow your knees when you are at home, and you beseech the Lord, if the Lord would speak, and if the Lord would grant you those desires and that portion, and that he is giving unto all his people. Oh, you ask, and you seek, and you knock, And, oh, you say even to this day, no answer yet has brought relief. Is that now what is taking place in your life, in your own soul? You do not go away. You have not yet given it up. Or maybe sometimes you have thought to do so. You say it is so hopeless. It is so hopeless. And then you say, but where shall I go? Or you go on your knees, you say, oh Lord, to whom else can I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Do you live so? Do you go so into your inner chamber? Do you beseech the Lord? And do you know not from the mind and not from other persons, but do you know from your own life that you are not able to convert yourself? That you are dead, dead in sins, dead in trespasses, and a dead man cannot cry, a dead man cannot love, and a dead man cannot even desire. Do you feel that? Is that then the burden from where you go from Sabbath day to Sabbath day? And I know it is not every day the same, but does it stay so in your life and over maybe already many years that you say it is going now to be for me, as it says in the word of God, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and the place thereof knew it no more. And now I am afraid that that is the way that I am going to die. Oh, congregation, what shall we say to you? I want to read you something a moment. If it is so, and you know if it is so, the witness, the testimony that is in our own hearts, and what is seen by others, that is not always what is living in our heart. Listen, what do our fathers say? Those who do not yet experience a lively faith in Christ, an assured confidence of soul, peace of conscience, an earnest endeavor after filial obedience, and glorying in God through Christ efficaciously wrought in them, and do nevertheless persist in the use of the means which God hath appointed for working these graces in us, ought not to be alarmed at the mention of reprobation, nor to rank themselves among the reprobate, but diligently to persevere in the use of the means, and with ardent desires, devoutly and humbly, to wait for a season of richer grace. Oh, that is what our father said. You can read it in the canons of Dort. The first head, the 16th article. Did you ever read it? And did you ever weep over what our fathers have written? Because you say that it seems so, so hopeless. Oh, congregation, where do our fathers get that from? They don't get that just from pity. No, that doesn't just come out of their own mind, but that comes out of the Word of God. That is the Lord's own testimony. unto those who are waiting, because the Lord Jesus, he speaks about that woman who went to that unjust judge. And then she has asked and asked and asked. But he would not hearken unto her. And then after so long a time, and then finally, that unjust judge, he hearkened unto her. And now the Lord likens that unto those who are yet asking, and to those who are yet seeking. And then he says, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear along with them? O congregation, all then do not stop. Do not stop. There was a woman, we read it in the Word of God, she was crying out after the Lord Jesus. The disciples, they said, send her away, because she crieth after us. And now the Lord Jesus, he did not give her an answer, not a word, not a word. Is that how it is? Not a word. And when there was a word, it was against her. It was against her. You ever open the Bible? It's all against you. So you are free to open that Bible anymore. Because if I open it again and look in it again, I am afraid that I am going to be cast away, and forever and forever. Oh, the Lord Jesus, what did he have in store for that woman? Oh, he had something so beautiful in store for her. Did he know that? Yeah, he knew that. Did she know that? No, she didn't know that. She didn't know that. Did his disciples know that? They didn't know it either. No, but that day did come. And so all that crying and that hanging on, all to bother him and to keep on asking, oh, congregation, do not go away. What does David say? He said, I had fainted, except that I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We say, in whom those desires dwell. All do those desires now dwell in your own heart? All did they dwell in the heart of the Pharisees? That desire of gratitude, because it can be that from the outside everyone looked at that people, those Pharisees and those religious rulers, and then you think, yeah, that everything good is in them, right? They are the office bearers. Gratitude, what kind of gratitude lived in their heart? Oh, he said, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. O congregation, don't we have to admit that such things live in our hearts? Not as other men are. Because we are not like the world, right? Young people, you're not like the world, are you? I hope not. I hope not. But now to say, O Lord, I thank thee, oh, then we are just standing a little bit above the world, right? And you know how it is, truly. It is truly that we are much worse than the world. Much worse. Much worse. Because there are so many of those people, and we do mission work in other places, Bolivia and so on. But yeah, how much mission work is not really for us right here. And all those people of the world, how many of them do not know young people? How many of them have never heard what you have heard all your life long, even if you're not so old yet? Well, there was a boy, a child, one time visiting a museum where all the Bible scrolls were laid out. And they were from the public school. And then that man, he was talking about Adam, showing them those scrolls, maybe something written in those scrolls. And one of those children, they put up their hand. They said, "Who is Adam? Who is Adam?" Oh, children, do you understand that whatever that we may know, we are responsible for that. We are accountable for that. What we do with it. And that means that when the neighbor boy or girl sins and does wrong things, and then you will follow that your guilt is much higher than their guilt. Let us sing. Psalter 41, 4, 5, and 6. The law that the Lord has ordained is perfect, the soul to restore. His truth makes the simple most wise. The truth that is sure evermore. 1, 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 40. the desire of gratitude in whom it dwells, and after what it aspires, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Thus I will walk before the Lord. What does that mean? That means to walk in His sight. That means to walk in the presence of the Lord. And that is now an expression of the desire that was living in the heart of the psalmist. That's the way it was in creation. Right, children? We read that God came to Adam, and there God walked with Adam. Do you ever think about that when you are young? Well, that must have been when the Lord came to Adam before sin came into the world. And then that God in whose image that we were made. And then there was such a blessed communion. God with His own creature. And then sin came. Oh, did you ever say how awful is sin? Oh, that I would never. That I would never, ever, ever again sin against the Lord. And now, immediately afterwards, Adam, he hid from the presence of the Lord. Thus it is just the opposite here. The psalmist, he says, I will walk before the Lord. And Adam, he ran away from the Lord. He did not want to walk before the Lord. Why did he not want to walk before the Lord? Because of his sin. Because of his sin. So how is that now with us? Would we want the Lord, we would say, to come into our house? Fathers and mothers. And children into our bedroom. And he says, I will walk before the Lord. He would want the Lord to come there in our bedroom and to see what we have there in our bedroom, to see what kind of books that we are reading. Or maybe he would say when he sees those books, and the things that you are doing, well, you are not asking, you are not seeking, you are not knocking. Oh, will that all testify against us by nature that we are now like Adam after the fall, and we do not want to walk before the Lord? He says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That means on the earth, he says, before I die. He says, how is that possible? Because we know after that we die, well, then all the sin will be gone. And then there will be holiness. And then we will be able to walk before the Lord. But he speaks about here in the land of the living. So how can God's children, is there then no sin in the people that they are able to walk before the Lord? Oh, this is now coming once again. So you see how beautiful that faith is. You see why that God's children, they say, if I could only always believe. But how beautiful a thing that faith is. Because what did the bride say? She says, I am black. I am black. And because we are black, then we cannot walk before the Lord. But she said more. And she said that in faith, when that true faith was in exercise, then she said, I am black, but comely. But comely. Comely. In the eyes of whom? Her beloved. Comely in the eyes of the Lord. Is that not Such an amazing thing, we would say. Or in faith, then she may see how that she can walk before the Lord as black as she is, and that she remains. But when faith is in exercise, oh, then they may see that there is a clothing that is the robe of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the sin of that people that is so completely covered, they may see it in that moment. When faith may be in exercise, and then they are not afraid to walk before the Lord, then they do not have to flee like Adam fled. No, then they desire. Oh, you see how it is by faith that people are made to hope, that they are brought into reconciliation with the Lord. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, the psalmist desires to live that way for the rest of his life on the earth. What does he want? He wants to have heaven on the earth, doesn't he? He wants to have the heaven on the earth. I will walk, he says. It's not possible. People of the Lord say, oh, if that is possible, you need to wait for that. But that is now his desire, that would never cease moment by moment, that he may walk in such a way, or that he could walk always with his affections in heaven. Are they not the best moments that people may have here on this earth? When they are above the world, when the world doesn't matter anymore, when they may do their labors and they may use this world as not abusing it. Oh, when everything that is to them is all in heaven. They want to walk in holiness. What is holiness? That is to be separate, to be separate. All they desire. What will be in heaven? They will be separated from all the sin. All that is to be consecrated, holiness. That is to be consecrated so that my whole life and my whole being, that is all for the Lord. You see how that is, young people? That is born in regeneration, those desires already. Because then they see that I do not live for him. But now the Lord, he gives that to flame up, as it were, in that exercise of faith. Oh, they want to live in all righteousness, that is according to all the commandments of the Lord, that they would not sin against the Lord, one sin anymore. They want to live in communion. Oh, that the Lord would speak unto their soul, and that they could live in communion with him, in the favor of him, in the felt favor and communion, as they may do with all of their loved ones, as it were, in the midst of this world. Do you know how they want to live? They want to live in faith. They want to live in faith. They want to live with the ability to cast their whole case, this case, this hopeless case, upon that sacrifice, upon that promise, and that they may rest there. Their moments. But the psalmist, he says, I will walk. And he wants to keep his life that is as blameless as possible, that the Lord would not depart from him, or that the Lord, that sin would not, we would say, chase the Lord away. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. He knows what rest is. You know what David said? Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. all secret faults. That is now the warfare, not open faults, usually. Many times, oh, it is not so hard to put the outward things away. It is here, right? The inward thoughts, the secret thoughts, the secret sins, the bosom sins that no one else sees. That is the warfare. That is the grief that is living in the heart of David. And now there is no way. There is no way to be relieved of that burden except one way. Except one way. And that is when they may take that burden and they may cast it upon him. Or if they may do, what did Paul say? He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Now, that was not possible from his side or from any man in this world. He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Oh, if we may say that, if we may say that just for a moment, even, you know, a person, he says, "Let me stay here. Let me stay here just in this place because the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not." All this is none other than the house of God. This place I will never forget. This place is to me a Bethel, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. So is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet unto my taste. And then I say, Oh, I will walk, and I will be careful, and I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Actually, you know what it says? It says in the land of the living ones. In the land of the living ones. Living people on earth. But who now are the true living ones? Oh, they are that same people that may experience that same way, even as the psalmist has experienced, that may experience it like he says, all those poor people that are not strangers of that same deliverance that David is speaking about in this psalm, who say, "Also with him I found trouble and sorrow, compassed about with sorrows of death and pains of hell. I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me." Oh, they are the ones. They are the living ones. And David says, "I will now walk before the Lord with those living ones in the land of the living." And together we are going to do one thing. You can read it when you come home again. We are going to do one thing. Oh, Jerusalem, we are going to sing together. We are going to sing together. And that people who could not help themselves and who can only acknowledge that the Lord is the Savior of sinners. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Oh Lord, it is but a few words when we try to reflect a little bit. Oh, bless thy word this day and thy sacrament this day, that there may be a little fruit, O Lord, upon all the labors of our hands. And may it be that the time may come that there is a little breaking forth, that there is from thee a little light from above, and that thou may give encouragements unto those who may be so discouraged. But thou sayest, ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Oh, give us to believe it, Lord, and with a true saving faith, and that we may experience the truth of it in our life. Be with us this evening. Keep us in the night, and give what is necessary to each one in the week that is to come. And when in the day of tomorrow we hope to begin catechizing our youth, oh, give to them a desire also for knowledge in these things, and give them to come up and with a prayer also for us, their instructors, who are in ourselves so poor, and who know nothing, but who may be instruments in thy hand also for them. And be also with our confession class as we meet from week unto week. Remember also the Trinitarian Bible Society, and when they hope to meet, Lord, wilt thou give an interest also from among us for this work, which is so very important. And there are so many that do forsake it after supporting it for so many years, desiring other versions of thy holy word, which are not thy holy word. Oh, do give then an interest among us, and to come up there and to give support also in that way unto that effort. Remember when our school also will have their meeting, and wilt thou bless all the efforts that are done there, and wilt thou provide for our upcoming generation, and wilt thou forgive the iniquity and the sin of this day, and crown thy word and sacrament with thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is 444, stanzas 1 and 2. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, with all thy power. Exalt the God who is thy strength and tower. And what follows, 1 and 2 of 444. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.